If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Growing up in my day, it was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. For some of you that aren't as old as me, you're going to know Daniel Tiger. So hopefully that covers the oldies and the newies, either Daniel Tiger or Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Mr. Rogers was a very special man. He has lots of really good quotes. And when I thought about 1 Corinthians 13 and the unconditional love, I immediately went to Mr. Rogers. I have a couple of quotes from him. The number 143 means I love you. It takes one letter to say I, four letters to say love, three letters to say you. 143, I love you. Isn't that wonderful? And that's a quote from Fred Watt Rogers. Now, that doesn't mean anything to you if you don't understand that he lived this out. For 30 years of his life, he had a routine. He would get up, he'd eat breakfast, he'd go do a swim. After the swim, for 30 years, he would stand on a scale. And for 30 years, his body weight was 143 pounds. Now, we just finished Josh's wrestling season. One of the constant things with Josh's wrestling season was making weight. And it's amazing how you could weigh one thing at night and eat a big meal, and then you wake up the next morning and you're like, choop, it has went up. But for Mr. Rogers, for 30 years of his life, every single day to weigh 143 pounds is like, I couldn't even do it. But he did that because it represented, I love you, and he really showed the children that through his program. There's another quote, and listen to this. This is very important from Mr. Rogers. He says, I think everybody longs to be loved and longs to know that he or she is lovable. And consequently, the greatest thing we can do is to help somebody know that they are loved and capable of loving. Let me read that again. I think everybody longs to be loved and longs to know that he or she is lovable. And consequently, the greatest thing that we can do is to help somebody know that they are loved and are capable of loving. As we look at 1 Corinthians 13, that is Paul's goal this morning. He wants us to understand how important love is in our life. How important love is that we give to other people. How crucial it is to be a part of a church life, a family life. Now, the chapters and verses weren't put in when the writers were originally writing the Bible. When Paul was writing 1 Corinthians, he wasn't putting, okay, I got to start chapter number 13, verse number 1. They were added later. Somebody came along and they said, you know, we're going to make it a little bit easier. Helps us to find chapter and verse, obviously. But the tail end of verse number 31 probably should go with chapter 13. Because at the end of verse 31, Paul says,
en el último del verso 31, dice, ahora pues te voy a enseñar lo más excelente.
Bill and Ted, excellent adventure fans here. Paul must have been a fan. He wants to show us the most excellent way, and that is the way of love. Now, we do have to understand this is in the context of a church setting. Paul wasn't in the middle of writing a letter to the Corinthians and said, you know, there's going to be people getting married, and they're going to need things to have said in that marriage, and there's going to need to be scriptures quoted in that marriage. I need to stop right now and write a chapter that can be quoted in wedding ceremonies. He didn't do that. This is in a church setting. Now, obviously, 1 Corinthians 13 fits in a marriage setting, fits in a work setting. But Paul was writing this to address issues in the church at Corinth. There are tons of passages that address family settings and love, husband and wife relationships, parent-children relationships, that would go hand in hand, obviously, with this chapter. But one of the challenges of unconditional love is to live up to that. A lot of obstacles to living out unconditional love is our old nature. I know I'm supposed to be praying during the pastoral prayer and along with the pastor, but man, Dustin, you really need this sermon. All the things you said about your life. No, I'm just kidding. They're all of our lives. We all wrestle with these things that get in the way of us being able to love unconditionally. Obviously, it's God's love that we're talking about here in chapter 13. God's unconditional love, the way He loves us. God loves you regardless of who you are. He loves you, and He wants you to be in relationship with Him. Now, obviously, to be in relationship with God, there's this one thing that kind of separates us, and that's sin. So we do have to take care of the sin problem and get forgiven of that sin. But God has already made a way for us to get forgiven of that sin when He sent His Son to die on the cross. So as we look at love this morning, we need to understand that it is unconditional love. The Greek word here is agape. There's another Greek word, phileo, means brotherly love. It's what city of Philadelphia got its name, brotherly love. That's more of a family type love. But this is unconditional God's love. Most of the time when we think of love in our culture, it's that mushy, emotional type thing. Let me make sure you understand this morning. Unconditional love is a choice. It's a choice. It's a hard choice to make sometimes, but it is a choice. Love is a choice. I mean, we can have some emotions that come from love, but the love that is the love we're talking about this morning is a choice. We choose who we love. We choose to act out on our love. So that's so important to understand as we kind of unwrap this morning. Now, there's some things in the Christian life, it's kind of a little checklist that you can check that you can accomplish in your Christian life. It's kind of easy. Ten Commandments. I didn't kill anybody this week. I didn't physically kill anybody. Check. And I, in my mind, I didn't wish somebody dead. Check. See, the commandment covers both. If you wish somebody were really dead, that's just kind of like physically killing them in a sin type way. If you hate them enough where you wish they were dead. But that's easy to check off for us each week, isn't it? But the challenge when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is it's going to be one of these things day in and day out that we are always going to try to continue in our life to mature to be able to become this person. Mr. Rogers was the same person on screen that he was off screen. You know, there's a lot of actors, and you think they act, you think the way they are on screen is the way they're off screen, but when they get off screen, they're just like horrible. Mr. Rogers wasn't that way. It's kind of like for us as Christ followers, we need to be the same person on Sunday morning that we are on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I mean, you can be really awful on Sunday and great the rest of the week, but that doesn't do anything any good. See how I changed it up on you? I was supposed to say you can be great on Sunday morning, awful the rest of the week, but I changed it up. Just see if you're paying attention. So the first thing Paul talks about in the first three verses is the convincing argument for love. He's trying to convince the Corinthians how important love is. Now, Pastor Dave in his sermon last week talked about spiritual gifts. And the church at Corinth were all into spiritual gifts. They were excited about their spiritual gifts, especially if they had the gift of speaking in tongues. But unfortunately, they allowed their spiritual gifts to get in the way of being nice and kind to other people. The week before that, we saw how they mistreated people when it came to the Lord's Supper. How they wouldn't let people eat out of their crock pot. No, this is my food, not your food. You need to find your own food. I mean, they had some issues. But yet, in their mind, they're like, oh, I'm this great spiritual person. I can do all of these spiritual gifts. You know, I can sing, I can preach, I can teach. I can do all of these great things for God. Look at me. And then when it came to relationships with people in the church, they were unloving. They were unkind. They were mean. They were selfish. And Paul says, the two doesn't go together. So in the first three verses, he makes this case. And a lot of this is tongue-in-cheek because it's kind of outlandish, and he's doing that on purpose. So he talks about if they could speak with tongues. That's verse 1. Verse 2, if I had the gift of prophecy, or if I could understand all mysteries, if I had the faith to move a mountain, I'm nothing without love. It's interesting when he talked about speaking in tongues. He said, if I could speak in tongues, but I don't have love, I'm just making a lot of noise. Josh is in this pep band at school, and they play little songs during the basketball games. And there's one person that does the cymbals. And a couple of the songs, right at the right time, you got to have a cymbal. And, it, you know, the person hits the cymbal right at the right time, and the cymbal, you know, fits in. But if you just have a set of cymbals without any other instruments, without any other music, and you're just banging cymbals together, it's not going to make much sense. And that's what Paul says. If you can speak with tongues, but you don't have love, you're just making a bunch of noise. And that's important for us not to make noise, but obviously to be able to communicate the way God intended for us to communicate. And obviously that's through love. He says, if I have the gift of prophecies. I mean, these are some really important things that Paul is saying, but without love, they're useless. When you became a Christ follower, God gave you a spiritual gift. And, you know, it's important for you to understand what that spiritual gift is and to use it. A lot of you have different gifts and talents just because of who you are. But it is important to understand that we have to use all of those things out of love for each other, not use it just to make ourselves look good. And we'll get into that a little bit later with the character of love. Look at verse number 3. Paul says, if I give all possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. I mean, if you sell everything you have and you give that money to the poor, people would say, man, that's great. Man, look at what they did. Or even if you had a lot of money and you wrote a really big check to the poor, they're like, man, that's great. Look at the amount of money they gave for the poor. Paul is even going to the point to say, some of the translations uses, if I give my body to be burned, as opposed to hardship. I mean, it's a little bit different between, you know, going through bodily hardship as opposed to your body being burned. But he's going to these great lengths to express the importance of love. You know, if you're going to sacrifice your body, he says, but if you don't have love, you gain nothing. It's all for naught. So it's very important. Paul helps us to understand we can be these great, amazing people. We can want to do all these great things in the church. But if we don't do it out of love, then it's useless. And this is the mindset that we have to have to understand how important love is and how that without love, we're not going to be effective. We're not going to be effective as Christ followers without love. And I know sometimes it gets frustrating for a Christ follower, because we want people to accept Christ. We want people to understand the forgiveness of Christ. You might not be me, but you know, sometimes I literally want to stand in the middle of downtown Chicago in a really big crowd and yell at the top of my lungs, please understand the forgiveness of Christ and accept His grace. Now, I've never done that before. That is not an effective technique. But when I see the pain and the sorrow and the suffering in so many people's lives, it's like that's what I want to do so that they would understand that they need God's love and God's grace and God's forgiveness. But obviously, that's not necessarily an effective technique. So now let's look at the character of love. This is where it gets hard. This is where it gets hard. So there's some verses in the Bible that you might need to read lots of commentaries to try to figure out what that verse means. And then there's some verses in the Bible that are, it's just kind of obvious in black and white. The next few verses are kind of obvious. Now, I'll make a deal with you this morning. Everybody want to make a deal with me? I will go along with you just living out all the parts of the Bible that you plainly understand, and the stuff that you really don't understand, it's really complicated, might be really deep and theological. I'll even go to the point and say, well, you know, you still want to read those parts, but if you'll just follow all the things that's black and white that you understand, then I'll say that's good. Is that like a good deal? Sounds like there's a catch to it. Well, there's no catch, because I contend there's more parts of the Bible that are in black and white, easy to understand, but yet they're very difficult to live out. And if we would just live out the parts of the Bible that are really easy to understand, black and white, then everything else will take care of itself, I promise. So these next few verses talks about the character of love. If somebody is loving somebody unconditionally, this is what it's going to look like. So this isn't just, I'm going to say I love you. Because in our culture, the I love you thing is so cheap. I love chocolate. I love my dog. I love my job. I love my wife. We were talking about that in Sunday school last week. But, you know, obviously the Greeks would use a separate word for love so you would know what kind of love they were talking about. And that's the kind of love that's here. So let's look at the character of love. The very first one, love is patient. Love is patient. You don't have to have a theological degree to know what being patient with people are. Parents, one of the hardest things sometimes is to be patient with your children. Be patient with your spouse. Be patient with that friend in your church. Be patient with the coworker. Patience doesn't fly off the handle or get angry real quickly. Patience doesn't get frustrated when somebody's not doing something the way they're supposed to. Now, let me go ahead and say this as we go into this. When you love somebody unconditionally, that doesn't mean they have a free ticket to act any way they want to and to treat you any way they want to. So you got to understand that's not what we're talking about. There are boundaries. There are things that have to happen when people are living their lives destructively and bringing pain and suffering into other people's lives. Now, you will still love those people unconditionally, but yet you set up boundaries. When you are acting and treating me this way, then I am going to choose to go somewhere else. That's a boundary. If we want to sit down and have a conversation about what we're disagreeing with, that's different. But if you're going to yell and scream and jump up and down, some of you may yell and scream and jump up and down when you are having a discussion with whoever you're discussing it with. But a boundary is when you are yelling and screaming and jumping up and down, then I'm going to choose to go somewhere else. That's a boundary. And of course, you know, they look lots of different. But loving someone unconditionally means you still love that person no matter that they're jumping up and down, screaming and yelling, but you are going to let them know that in a very quiet way, look, I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to get in the car. I'm going to go down the road. When you're acting like this, you know, and you do it in a nice way. Where if you're going to yell and scream, I'm just going to go, no. When you're acting like this, I'm going to go somewhere else. That would be like a boundary. So love is patient. Love is kind. Every now and then, every now and then Pastor Dave will put two words on the sign. In Spanish, it's more than two, I think, but he's like, be nice. I mean, If we could just understand that concept of being nice, that will go a long way with all of our relationships. Our relationships at work, our relationships with our family, our relationships in a church setting. But Paul says love is kind. I mean, you don't have to have a big long definition of what kindness means, but you know when somebody's being kind to you. It's amazing how in your job a lot of times you do customer service and you're really nice, you're kind, you're like, I want to do this for you, I'm going to do that for you. And these are strangers, you're just trying to get their business, but you're being professionally kind. I've been in situations with unhappy customers before, and it would do me no good to raise to the level of their anger and act the same way they're acting to me. But I try to tell my techs, I'm like, you're always trying to diffuse. You're always trying to bring the temperature down, because you're going to run into unhappy people sometimes. You're going to run into angry people sometimes. But it is your professional job to de-escalate. And if we are kind, we love somebody unconditionally, we are going to use our kindness to de-escalate. We're going to treat people with kindness. You can't work and treat your customers kind all day and then come home and your kids and your spouse is there and you're just gruffing at them. You would not want to treat a stranger kindly, and then people that you know and love, you treat unkindly. But love is kind. As we go through this list, I was like, so what's something we could remember to do this list? It might be, if you have a lot of problems doing this list, one thing you probably could do, you'd have to get it pretty small, but to remind yourself every day, you could just take verses 4 through 7 and make it small and tattoo it right on your forehead. Every morning when you would get up and go to the mirror and you're brushing your teeth after you wipe the steam away, you're like, oh yeah, there it is. Of course, it would be backwards because you're looking at it in the mirror. You'd learn it backwards. You'd learn it front ways and backwards. Wouldn't that be good? Maybe you should just write it down. Maybe put it on a card somewhere on your fridge or in your car. Maybe don't tattoo it on your forehead. I don't know. That might be a little extreme. But love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. In other words, it doesn't get jealous. You get excited when something good happens for somebody else. You don't envy them. You're not jealous of them. Sometimes that's hard to do. It's hard to get excited for that coworker that got that position that you wanted, even when, you know, you thought, well, I was better qualified for it, but they got it. It'd be hard for you to be happy for that coworker. But you got to remember what the goal of unconditional love is. It's to love people so that you can connect them with Christ. I mean, that's why God loved us. John 3:16. God loved the world. He gave His only Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loved us so that we could be connected with Him. So love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. In other words, it doesn't brag. You know, it doesn't, I don't know if this is what you would say, well, I'm better than you, I'm better than you are, I can do things in the church better than you, I can sing better than you, I can run the tech team booth better than you, I can do all these things better than you. Well, I don't know why they're letting that person do it. I'm a lot better than they are. Love doesn't boast. It doesn't brag. Doesn't, you know, pat itself on the back about how great they are. Have you ever been around somebody that, you know, all they want to do is talk about how great they are? It's like, well, maybe we could talk about something else. What about the Bears? But love, unconditional love, doesn't boast. There might be an occasion when you might need to explain to somebody your credentials and your skills, but you can still do it in a non-bragging, boasting way. Unconditional, if you unconditionally love somebody, there is no need to boast because they know who you are. They know the kind of character you are. They know the kind of person you are becoming. Does not boast, is not proud. Boy, pride is very hard. In relationships, pride wants to stick its head up so many times. Sometimes the hardest thing to say sometimes is three words, and it's not "I love you." It's "I am sorry." I mean, that can be the hardest thing to say sometimes is "I'm sorry." But pride says, you know what? You might have been wrong this time, but remember those other three times when you were right and they didn't acknowledge it? So you don't even have to say you're sorry this time, you know? Or most of the time it's we figure out a loophole of way we are right. Well, we are right technically, maybe. But unconditional love is not proud. Unconditional love is humble. Okay, verse number 5, it does not dishonor others. Does not dishonor others. Do we have to bring people down to make ourselves feel important? If we unconditionally love somebody, we don't have to dishonor other people. Matter of fact, we want to encourage them. And you can come along somebody that's struggling in different areas of their life, and you can come along in a very loving way and encourage them and say, "Hey, I'm with you. I know you struggle with this. I support you. If there's anything I can do to help you with this, I want to help you." And you can talk to them in a certain way that it doesn't embarrass them. It doesn't make them feel less than. It doesn't make them feel like you're judging them. It doesn't make them feel like you're better than them. But you're just coming alongside them saying, you know, "I know you're having some struggles, and what can I do to help you with this?" I think that's one of the things Paul was thinking about when he says it does not dishonor others. This is a very hard one. It's not self-seeking. It's not self-seeking. You have an old nature, unfortunately. Adam and Eve gave it to you. I have an old nature. And yourself is constantly trying to push you to the front. It's trying to push you in front of your spouse, push you in front of your children, push you in front of other people at church, push you in front of people at work. It's trying to push you in other situations in different contexts in the world. That's just a matter of life that you're going to have to constantly keep pushing yourself back down. You ever remember the game Whack-A-Mole? Whack-A-Mole, you know, the little moles are popping up. It's a game. It's an electronic game where you got this mallet and these little moles are popping up and you have to hit it in the head to knock the mole down. Then you get a point. So you have to get a big mallet so that when your selfish nature pops up, you can knock it back down. Because it's natural for us to put ourselves first. It is unnatural for us to put others first. Oh, I forgot to tell you this. It is really going to be hard for you to do these things if you do not have the power of God in your life. Because to live this out, you need the power of God. You need God's grace, His mercy. You need the Holy Spirit to live these things out consistently and in the right way. I forgot to tell you that. I'm sorry. It's not self-seeking, so it's not selfish. Is not easily angered. That's a hard one. It's not easily angered. How quick do you lose your temper? Unconditional love doesn't get easily angered. And like I said, it's a process. I mean, this is something that you're going to live with all the days of your life if you're going to be the person God wants you to be and be able to live this out. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Hey, boy, that's a good one. Paul, really, did you have to put that in there? Keeps no records of wrong. That's how we get people where we want them to be. That's how we can control people, because we know where the skeletons are buried, right? You know, when we've done something wrong, because you're going to do something wrong every now and then, husbands, wives, there's going to be a time in your marriage when you do something that you make a mistake and your spouse says, well, why did you do this? And that's when you need this list, because you pull the list out and you've got all the things they've done wrong. So see, it's called fight fire with fire. You have this list, and it's in a church setting, it'll work too. You know, oh yeah, you want to get on to me about this, that, or the other. Well, I remember that Sunday when you did this or didn't do that. See, that's why it's important to have this list. But Paul says if we love people unconditionally, we're not going to keep this list. We're running out of time, but one of the neat things about the love of God, when you ask Him to forgive you, He forgives you and He wipes it away. When you come back to God and you're like, you know, Lord, I just, you know, the last week, I'm so sorry, I made this mistake. And He's like, wait, what are you talking about? I forgave you of that. I forgave you of that. Now, let's move on. One of the hardest things for us to do sometimes is to understand if God has forgiven us and we've asked Him to forgive us of our sins and He legitimately has forgiven us because our heart legitimately asked Him, then we can forgive ourselves and we can move on. It's so important to understand that. So it keeps no record of wrong. Verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. So we're excited for good, and we don't delight when we see people doing wrong. Verse 7, it always protects. Love is always about protecting the other person. It always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. In other words, unconditional love is looking for the best for other people. It's always thinking the best for other people. So that's the character of love, and that is so hard to live up to. But as Christ followers, we have the power. We have the power of Christ in us to live this out. Then finally, the consistency of love. Look at verses 8 through 13 right quick. It says, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. So I just read verses 8 and 9 and 10. So when we talk about consistency of love, we're not talking necessarily about day in and day out. It's the same way, which that is important because unconditional love is consistent like that. It's so important, parents, that you're consistent with your children. They need that. They need that you're going to be one way one day and the same way the next day. It's so important that you be consistent. It's also very important, you know, in husband-wife relationships, consistency. It's also very important, you know, in church relationships, consistency. But what Paul's talking about here is that spiritual gifts at a certain point will be of no value in eternity, but love will always be there. In other words, the love we have for each other now is going to last all eternity. That's why love never fails. It will always be there. And that's why it is so important that we learn to love. So love will continually be there. If you'll drop down to verse number 13. Paul ends this chapter. He says, Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It's interesting. Paul says, more important than faith is love. More important than hope is love. Love is the most important. So this morning, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, if you're going to be effective in your relationships at church, with your family, with your coworkers, it is very important to learn how to love people unconditionally. It's one of the hardest things you will ever do or grow in your Christian life to become this kind of a person, but it is our goal for everybody. The day we became a Christ follower, we wanted to love people the way Christ loved us. Going back to Mr. Rogers' quote, the greatest thing that we can do is to help somebody know that they are loved and capable of loving. That's what so many people need. And that's what the gospel is all about. Helping people understand that God loves you and I love you. And I want to help you to become the person that you can be of why God created us. So it's hard to do. 3 weeks from now, hope you can continue to remember to follow these different things to become people that love other people unconditionally. Let's pray. Lord, this is a big task for us to be able to love people the way you loved us. But you have empowered us to do it. You have given us the grace. You've given us the Holy Spirit. And you expect us to love people this way. Help each of us to love our church members, all the people in our life, our family, our coworkers. Help us to love the stranger. Help us to become people that love people unconditionally so that they can understand the love that you have. We just pray that you will empower us this week to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.